هون لگل اس بی اس رادیو بشی کردینه.
Today, we're privileged to speak with Tim Buxton, who undertook a remarkable 100-mile run across the rugged landscapes of the Kurdistan region, Iraq. This extraordinary journey was not only a test of physical endurance, but also a powerful exploration of resilience and connection to a land rich in history and spirit. In this interview, Tim shares the story behind this incredible run, the challenges he faced navigating the terrain, and how this experience profoundly influenced his work on You Belong. Tim Buxton, welcome to SBS Kurdish. First of all, congratulations to you and to your team on accomplishing your goal, on completing your challenge of the 100-mile run in Kurdistan region, Iraq.
Thank you so much. It certainly was an incredible team effort. I can't believe we did it. I came back alive.
Tim, what inspired you to take on such an extreme challenge, retracing the path of refugees in Kurdistan region, Iraq?
Yeah, you know, there's nothing that inspires me more than the families and the refugees and what we call waymakers, yeah, that make their way here in Australia to rebuild their lives. And, you know, these are families and individuals that our organization, You Belong, serves on a weekly basis. And, you know, the courage it takes for them to continue their journey, even though they've left a place that they love and a place I got to really love too. And for those that lived in the Middle East and the region where we spent time. And so they inspired me to really draw attention to them and their courage and the difficulty of that journey. It's nothing, again, compared to what we did
Speaking of journey, can you share some of the most memorable moments or encounters you had during the 100-mile run?
Yeah, you know, the day before we left, we met with Abu Raid, who was the leader of a Shabak group, an ethnic minority group there in Iraq, from Mosul. And we met with him. I got a reunion with him and to see him after all these years, the first family that we were able to respond to when they fled ISIS. That was a very, very precious reunion. And I think it gave me the strength to get through day one, which almost saw me being taken to the hospital. it was really, really, really hot, and we really weren't prepared, I guess, for how much it would
the heat will take off.
Yeah. It was so hot, man. I can't tell you. It was 40 degrees.
Wow.
Or more, actually, just on the barometer. But the real feel, you know, with the heat bouncing off the concrete and the trucks burning past you with their exhaust, it was a lot hotter. It was really hard.
How did the experience of running this ultra marathon deepen your understanding of the refugee crisis in the region or elsewhere?
You know what? I think the hard thing, or the thing that I really understood, was the journey's not over even when you escape a region, or even that night that you left, that day one when you fled and you've made it out. You know, it physically took a toll on me, where I had heat stroke, and I could imagine the adrenaline that is felt by those that flee for their lives, and the physical exhaustion that many of them experience. But that is, yes, they might have got to safety, but then the journey of grief, of loss, is so much more. And to think, how does one go on when you're experiencing so much suffering in so many ways? Yeah, it really, really hit home for me. Even when they, you know, there are places where there's people that did welcome them and did come alongside. And I think the other thing was no one can do this alone. Like, I even had to have a team of support crew giving me water and helping me along the way. And these waymakers, these refugees, they need help along the way.
They didn't have anyone to help them, yes.
And more often than not, they don't have anyone to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't help in our own way if we have a drawn into to their need.
Tim, what I know you've spoken a little while ago about the physical and emotional challenges. What were some of the biggest physical and emotional challenges you faced throughout the run?
Yeah, great. Like I said, day one, we were fortunate enough to have an ambulance and a police escort. You know, the dangers of the road, but also there was dogs chasing us every morning. Like, really, it was quite wild. But with that ambulance, that 30-kilometre mark on day one, I hit heat stroke and I nosedived. I almost went unconscious.
Oh.
And I couldn't see very well. I was dizzy. And they wanted to put me into the ambulance and take me to the emergency room. I was constantly throwing up.
Wow.
I couldn't keep any fluids down. And I still had 10 kilometres to go. And I just remember my son just holding me by the hand and walking with me. And he ended up running the last 5 kilometres with us after running.
How did Charlie go? He did fantastic.
He ran more than he'd planned. He was going to run a marathon, which was like about 10 kilometres a day. He ended up running about 15 kilometres a day.
Good on him, yes.
And he got me through day one. Really, he did. Like, having him by my side, obviously we had a great crew that supported. But, you know, having him there really just comforting me and getting me through that moment. And then on the final day, you know, we're starting to get into a rhythm and actually run faster and do much better, even though we're running through the mountains and it was a lot more difficult terrain. But unfortunately, on the last day, I started to get what they call rhabdo, which is when you got blood in your urine. And so I was literally all day just peeing every 5 kilometers. It was like that constant pressure of busting to go to the toilet, and we just had to stop every 5Ks, and you know, mm-hmm. blood would just come out. And we got to the end and got, you know, kind of had some time to just rest and recover, and thankfully healed up and recovered. And I've been a bit weak since then. I've seen the doctors back since I got back to Australia and waiting on some results. But that was really, I mean, I can't tell you how much it really it's pushed me to beyond my limits.
Were there any moments during the run that tested your determination or made you want to give up, Tim? How did you overcome that, if so?
Nothing made me want to give up, but there was a moment on day one when I thought, I don't know if I will be able to make it. I didn't think my body could go. I couldn't physically see really well, and I was like going in and out of consciousness, and I was afraid that if I just stopped, I wouldn't be able to start again. And I remember I got wind that there was a park in Erbil, the Sami Abdul Rahm Park, and I knew there was some shade there because along the main road, there's just no shade anywhere. There's a mm-hmm. couple of bridges that you could, you know, but there's about 50 meters of shade under that bridge, but then you'd have to keep going. And I remember just crossing the 4-lane highways on both sides without anyone knowing, because they said the park's over there, and I just knew I had to get there, and I was like a drunk guy running across the street, across the highway, just trying to get to the park, and I lay collapsed on the ground. Every muscle in my body is cramping. I was just in so much pain. And like I said, that was at the point where my son just came to me and he held my hand. And as we started to walk again, I got some more water on me and it stretched out, and we were there for about 5-10 minutes, and then we just knew we had to keep moving. I couldn't stop. And as he was holding my hand, as we were just walking, starting to walk, he said, "Well, you knew it was never going to be a walk in the park." And the funny thing was, is there we were walking in the park.
After all that, I mean, you challenged yourself and everything. Have you achieved your goal?
You know, I gave everything I could. And I, not only I did, like, we had so many people, you included, cheering us on from the sidelines, giving and donating and supporting us. And I think we really made a big impact in drawing so many people's attention to the cause. We had a lot of people following us, And, you know, it did make local news over there in a lot of different news agencies, and obviously here in Australia. And you've been a great supporter of us getting it out through SBS. And I think in that respect, I'm really proud of our efforts. We aim to raise $100,000, and we've only raised so far $45,000. And so, you know, that in that sense, there's still, the job's not done yet. We've still got a goal to reach that $100,000. And so in that respect, we're still hoping and putting the word out for people to get on board and help us reach that goal.
So what's next for you after completing this incredible journey? Do you have more runs or projects planned related to refugee support?
Well, this was all to raise funds for our work for You Belong, which continues every day. We have women getting lessons, free lessons from local mentors. We have community Cook to Connect classes where locals in the community learn from women from refugee background and how to cook, and it's an incredible exchange program. We have so many English classes that go on weekly and so many other things that we do as an organization. Those things continue to be part of what we hope to do through the funds that we've raised. So that goes on. You know, I think there is a possibility there will be another Iraq run in the future, and a lot of people I think of in the running community of like, man, I would love to be able to achieve that ultra run. Tell me more. And so definitely there's talks about that happening. So I guess stay tuned. Watch this space.
Well, Tim Buxton, founder of You Belong, thank you so much for being on SBS Kurdish, and all the best.
A pleasure. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, mate. Thank you so much.
Like بك بارا بك تابني خبر نفسنا SBS كردي لسر فيسبوك بشوبنا.